dark. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the topic of tonight's program is wars and rumors of wars. We're going to be speaking about what the Bible speaks about, how much chaos there's going to be in the last days, but how we as Christians should be at peace waiting upon the Lord. Remember, you can reach us at our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you can listen to our live feed directly from the page. You can also hear all of our podcasts, either from the podcast page on there, or you can find us on iTunes as well. You can write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. You can also contact us via our Facebook page, or at our phone number, 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-7727. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, we want to thank you today for everything that you have done in our lives and through our lives, Lord. And today, Father, we want to pray, Father, that you may be able to use us, Father. Father, in these last days when things are coming apart and we see the world, Father, going deeper and deeper into danger, Lord, show us, Father, what we are to expect, Lord, and moreover, Father, show us how we are to stand as Christians. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
I don't know about you, but it seems like everywhere you turn, someone is talking about a war coming to our land. The other day, I turned on the TV, and a lady judge was telling the people to buy guns and get ready to use them because ISIS is coming to kill us. We hear of wars breaking out in other countries and rumors of them getting closer to our own nation. It seems to me that we are living in constant fear of something happening to us and to our families. There are even some Christian ministries selling dry food to store away, and many people are buying bunkers to hide from the coming dangers. People are on the run, and that's exactly where the enemy wants us to be. Jesus said that in the last days we will hear about these dangers, but he instructs us not to be alarmed. Mark 13:7. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. The fact that things in the world are getting worse should not surprise you. If you read your Bible, you would know that. However, what we should be concerned about is our relationship with Christ. In other words, are you saved? I am not talking about repeating a couple of words on the altar of a church. What I mean is, have you truly dedicated your life to Him? Then, and only then, can we truly deal with the spirit of fear. This reminds me when I was going to elementary school. There was a rumor in the school that a boogeyman, as they called him, was in one of the bathrooms, and he was apprehending the kids. This created such a fear in us that all the kids avoided even passing by that bathroom. This is the same tactics the enemy is using today. The devil is defeated, yet he makes people believe that he is still strong. ISIS, for example, is nothing, and all they can do is cause fear. We must understand that we are children of a great God, and his weapons are greater than anything that ISIS or anyone else can muster. Isaiah 54:17. But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. Another kind of fear is the fear of dying. One thing we must understand is that the gospel is a cause. What I mean by this is that it might require you to lay down your life for it. For example, some of us have sons and daughters that risk their lives to protect us every day, such as police officers, military people, and firemen. This is their cause. The cause of a Christian is much greater than that. It is saving the world from eternal destruction. And yes, some will fall, but they will rise again in Christ. Mark 13:9. When these things begin to happen, watch out. You will be handed over to the local councils and be beaten in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my follower. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. Friends, being a Christian is not easy, but it is well worth it. It is a privilege to be able to serve God and complete His mission here on earth. We can't change the future. The length of time we live is not certain. The end is coming near, and things are getting worse in this world. But instead of living in fear, let us take heed to the warnings in the scriptures and be ready for His second coming.
Amen. Amen. No doubt that in these last days, we've been seeing many men that have risen to capitalize off of Christians and off of people's fear. And though there have been many recent failed predictions regarding the return of Christ and the end times, as Christians, we should not allow these failed predictions to shake us from the confidence we have in the living Word of God. Unfortunately, this is what happens when false prophets rise and prophesy false predictions. Not only does it become a stumbling block for immature Christians, but it also causes the world to mock God's people. See, as Christians, we make a grievous mistake when we minimize how sinful it is to misrepresent God, when we cause the world to blaspheme His name. And just to show you how serious of a sin it is to misrepresent God, we look at the life of David. And the prophet Nathan confronts King David, which at this point he had not only lusted over another man's wife, but he had gone so far as to murder the woman's husband to hide the fact that he had slept and impregnated her. And not only did he commit adultery, but what makes matters worse is that he murdered a man. And after he is rebuked by the prophet, after God pronounces the judgment that is to come upon him because of his sin, that he would be publicly shamed, that the sword would not depart from his house, the prophet mentions something that all of us should take note of. In 2 Samuel 12:13, the scripture says, "So David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' And Nathan said to David, 'The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die.'" Though God forgave David for his sin, yet because he gave occasion for God's enemies to blaspheme God, the child died. And here is the point. God is jealous for His name. And we take His name in vain when our actions are devoid and thoughtless of His character and reputation. That's why it's such a serious sin for a man to rise up and to claim to speak the words of God only to utter, at the very least, the visions of his own heart, and at the very worst, deliberate lies. They bring reproach to God's name and His people. And we as Christians ought to take heed to our behavior and speech, that we do not bring shame to the name of our Lord. Now, with that in mind, knowing that there is men in these last days that have risen to monetize, to capitalize off the fear, off people's fear, let us continue in this study tonight. I remember reading about a man selling tribulation housing, as if there can be any man-made shelter that can stand against the wrath of God. Like Brother Lewis was speaking about these people that they begin to merchandise off of these circumstances. And now you don't need a prophet to tell you that things are bad today. Just turning on the news is sufficient to find out how chaotic the world has become. The increase in the interest on the occult has never been so widespread. And so much of it that even churches are jumping on this bandwagon. We're no longer sensitive to violence. Our children have been desensitized to evil because they see it in cartoons, in their toys, and video games. And Jesus warned us about the days that we're living in. Brother Lewis was reading in Mark 13, and I want to continue looking at a couple of passages there. And it says in verse 5, "And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet." Jesus tells us that in the last days will be days filled with hardship, filled with deceit, filled with calamity, yet he says that these things must needs be. Every day we see more and more tension between nations. We hear about, that we're so close to seeing wars break out. Brother Lewis mentioned that we have ISIS in the Middle East advancing and killing thousands of Christians. We see that the Western countries that once embraced the gospel are becoming more and more pro-Muslim, a religion that is vehemently anti-Christ. We are seeing the innocence of children stolen from them at younger and younger ages. We have seen how society has blurred even the lines which are clearly defined and drawn, like gender. And we are such a dumb society that we fall for lies that even a child can clearly see. But this is what happens to a society in rebellion towards God. This is what happens to a society that worships a false god. In fact, the Bible says that about false gods and idols in Psalms 115:8, he says, "Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them." So you become what you worship. And that's the reason why we have a society that behaves like animals, is because we have forsaken the Creator to worship the creation. In fact, this is what Romans says. Romans 1:22 says, "Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature." We've seen that the reason why our society has become the way it is because this is what they want. This is what they worship. The reason our society is lacking men that are willing to stand up for the truth, the reason homosexuality has become so rampant in our society, and specifically in the United States, the reason men are willing to bow and acknowledge utter foolishness, yet have complete hatred towards a living God, is not because judgment is coming, but because judgment is already here. We look in the Bible, we look at Israel. Long before God used other nations to destroy Israel for their rebellion, the Bible says that the glory of God departed from the temple. And brothers and sisters, when God's presence departs, there's only desolation. There is only decay. Without God, there is only death and decay. We look at the life of Saul, a man that was once chosen by God, and a man that had been anointed to be a king of Israel. Though due to his rebellion, God not only removes him from being king, but he removes from him his spirit. And when God removes his spirit from him, we see how this man gradually decays. He begins to grow in insanity. He begins to do things he would have normally not have done. And because not only does he lose the influence of God's spirit, but God sends an evil spirit in its place to trouble him. It was long before Saul was killed that God had already judged him for his rebellion. And the people of this world have told God, "We will not have him rule over us." And God will give them what they want. And they don't realize that that is their utter destruction. But those who are faithful to God, those who are faithful to Christ, need not to fear. Because we are the Lord's. And we are in his hands and in his sovereignty. As Brother Lewis was mentioning, we need not to fear. In fact, Jesus says, when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, he says, be ye not troubled. He says, don't be troubled. And the Greek word translated troubled means three things. Firstly, it means outcry. Don't make an outcry. We, of all people, when calamity hits, should not lose it, should not become anxious, should not act with hysteria. One of the things that is lacking in many Christians today is the fundamental understanding of God's sovereignty. Christians forget that Satan can only go as far as God allows him to. And if he's gotten this far, it's because God has allowed it to happen. We look at the Tower of Babel. The Bible says that man in their pride, and the pride of his heart, had desire to unite as one and to build a tower to reach the heavens. And we see that God only allowed them to go so far before he came down and brought confusion on them so that they could not continue to build. And just like God was sovereign then, he is sovereign now. We look in the Gospels. We look at the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. Many to this day still they consider the crucifixion of Jesus as a tragedy, as if somehow Satan pulled a fast one on Jesus, as if Jesus fell into a trap. Yet when we look at the Gospel of Counts, we see that through it all, Jesus was the one that was in control. The leaders, we look at the way the leaders were planning to arrest him. The Bible says that they didn't want to arrest Jesus on a feast day. They didn't want to arrest him on the Passover. Yet Jesus knew that the day he had to give his life, the day he needed to be crucified, was to be on the night of the Passover, as the scriptures had prophesied it would be. And we see that when the devil enters Judas, it is Christ that commands him to do what he has to do. In John 13:27, he says, "Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him to Judas. Then Jesus said to him, 'What you do, do quickly.'" Christ was telling the devil what to do. He said, "What you have to do, do it right now." When they came to arrest Jesus in the garden, we read in John 18:3, it says, "And then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, 'Whom are ye seeking?' And they answered him, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus said to him, 'I am he.' And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with him. Now when he said to them, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, 'Whom are ye seeking?' And they said, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' And Jesus answered, 'I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way.'" If we analyze the way that Jesus speaks in this account, we can clearly see that he does not speak like someone who has been caught by surprise, rather like one who is in control. The Bible says he knew what was going to happen, what would come upon him. And brothers and sisters, the events happening in the world today have not caught God by surprise. Rather, he has allowed them to happen. And it is he that will allow the world to fall into the lie of the Antichrist. Look at what Paul says, speaking about the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians 2:9. He says, "Even him," speaking about the Antichrist, "whose coming is after the working of Satan, without power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." And look what he says in verse 11, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." We see on one hand, in verse 9, the Bible says that this Antichrist, this man of lawlessness, is coming by the working of Satan. Yet we read in verse 11 that God allows him, God gives him over to this delusion so that they believe it, so that those that rejected the truth of the gospel will experience the wrath of God. Bible says that God sends them a strong delusion. It is God's judgment because they would not receive the truth of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, God is in control. Jesus says, "Be not troubled." And even there be wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled. Another meaning for this word troubled, as Brother Lewis had mentioned, it means to be filled with fear. We look at Psalm 46. It is a beautiful psalm to meditate on. Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Notice that it says, a present help. God is with us in the present. He is not just going to be with us tomorrow. He wasn't just with us yesterday, but he's with us now. And then verse 2 says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Look at what he says in verse 2. Though there be calamities, though there be natural disasters, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried away into the midst of the sea. And look at verse 3. It says, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. What's interesting is that waters in the scriptures are usually a symbol of the nations, the seas. And though the mountains are often, a symbol of governments. And it says, though mountains shake with the swelling thereof, you will not be troubled. Why? Because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 4 says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And that is where we need to be. We need to be in this place where the river flows, where the river of the Holy Spirit is constantly feeding our souls. At the tabernacle of the Most High. Verse 5 says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, when the Bible says the Lord of hosts, that word hosts, it means armies. The Lord of armies. God, as Brother Lewis was saying, we have a greater army than those of this world. And he says, verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he had made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Notice what he says in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be at peace. Do not get anxious. Do not lose it. And he says, I will be exalted among the heathen, among the Gentiles, among the in the nation. He says, I will be exalted in the earth. You know, it may seem at times as if the devil is winning. But ultimately, God is the one that wins. We know the end. We've read the end of the book. We know that God wins. God is our refuge. And the reason why our hearts and minds are filled with fear is because we allow our minds to drift away from Him, to drift away from Jesus. We are to keep our minds on Him. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah says, you'll be kept in perfect peace if you keep your mind on the Lord. Keep your mind on who he is and what he's done. And we as Christians are to proclaim the truth and to encourage one another by exalting the Lord and his works. Speaking the truth of the gospel to one another rather than exalting the works of darkness. The Bible encourages us to speak about the works of the Lord. Psalms 105:2, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. What is he saying? Talk about the things that he's done. Talk about the things that he's doing. Talk about the things that he's going to do. Psalm 107:22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 73:28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. What is he speaking about? We ought to speak the plan of God. We look at the New Testament, how the apostles, all the letters that are written, they write to encourage the saints. They write about the work of God. They write about the mission that God has in our lives to bring about redemption, to change us, to transform us, to conform us into the image of Christ. Psalm 26:6 says that we are to speak about His works. As Christians, we're to speak forth the works of the Lord. I can't count how many times I've sinned with my mouth, how many times I've caught myself in a conversation, and I just catch myself just talking about all the terrible things in the world. You know, you get into the conversation, and instead of speaking about how wonderful and great things God is doing, you start to complain. You know, I start to, oh, well, you know, this and that, the government and the economy and the people. And I realize that everything that's come out of my mouth is negative, negative, and doesn't exalt the Lord in one bit. Rather than using my mouth to speak about the beauties of Christ, we need to speak about what God is doing, His wonderful works, how He's going to save us, how we can trust in Him no matter what. In Psalm 42, we see that the psalmist, he's having a conversation with himself. The Bible says that his spirit is downcast. And what does he say to himself? He preaches to himself and he says, "Hope in the Lord, wait upon Him, He is my salvation." And that's the way we need to speak to each other and to ourselves, to our own minds. Yes, the world is dark. Yes, the world is evil. But we are to wait upon Jesus, who died for our sins, who rose from the dead. And even if they kill us, we will rise with Him. He is in control. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He upholds all creation. He is our Savior. We are not to fear. If you're in Jesus, do not fear. If you've been cleansed by His precious blood, do not fear. If you've trusted in His words, do not fear. Do not fear.
Amen. Another form of intimidation is through word of mouth. And many of you that are familiar with bullies in school, you know, we hear rumors that we need to watch out for certain individuals because they're going to beat you up. So that creates a fear in you that you try to avoid that person. And it's something like a boxer, you know, when they stare down at one another. And when a specific boxer has some sort of reputation, automatically the person that walks into the ring, whether he knows it or not, it's already defeated. And one of the pictures that we could see in the Bible of, you know, what are we supposed to do as Christians? And that's found in the book of Numbers, Chapter 13, verse 33, when it talks about Joshua and Caleb. And starting in verse 32, this is what it says. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report. And that is the form of intimidation which the Satan tried to use against them to back off, not to go into the promised land. Even though God had already promised them that they were going to win, that land belonged to them, certain individuals in that camp was already thinking that the battle was lost. And we see that as we continue in the scripture. Of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people who we saw in it are men of giant size. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Can you imagine? These people were in total shock. They were destroyed. They didn't even think they could win that fight. But you know, one thing that we need to hold on to is to the promises of God. The promises that we are going to be victorious. And we don't have just our armed forces to protect us. There are angels that have been assigned from God to protect us. He himself will send them. But we need to believe these truths.
You know, Brother Lewis, one of the things that I think is also a challenge in these days, or what causes people to see things and have them filled with fear, is the perspective that they have. You know, we tend to focus on, you know, how evil the times are, how dark they are, and that's true. But it's also one of the most exciting times. If the coming of Christ is imminent and can happen at any time, then this is a glorious time to be alive. Why? Because we may be the generation to see the coming of our Lord. I believe the other most exciting time in history was in Jesus Christ's first coming. And how much now, when Jesus is going to come to reign over the earth and overthrow the evil of this earth. And we may very well be alive to see that. And I think that's very exciting. And I think that allows us, when we have a right perspective, it allows us to stay focused on what is true, on Jesus Christ. And to know that we're not here by accident. We're not born at this time period as a coincidence. God chose for us to be here, for us to be alive at this instant. And if he put us here, he put us in this time, this because there's a reason, there's a purpose. Life just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen if God does not allow it. God is the bringer of life. God is the creator of life. So we ought to keep our focus, knowing that since the time is so close, then we ought to take heed. Watch over our lives. Look, make sure that sin is not abundant in our lives. That we're not tied to any sins. We're walking righteously before him. That we're walking faithfully. These are the things that we have to be taking heed to. Not whether who's going to be the Antichrist or you know, what's going to happen here or that. Because ultimately, what matters is our relationship with Christ. One of the things that started happening to me when I had this issue, which is finding out, you know, what's happening behind the scenes, the Illuminati and all these things, is that I became distracted. And I was worried about finding out the things that are behind the scenes than taking heed to my personal relationship with Christ. We want to go ahead now and take a moment. If you would like to contact us for prayer, you can do that either by calling 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-7727. Or you can write to us at our email, redemptionandpower@gmail.com. Or you can contact us via our Facebook page. Just type in Radio Redemption and Power.
Was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made that have been made. Life, and that life was the light of men. And the light
light shone in the darkness, but it did not understand. The light shone in the darkness, but it did not comprehend. That which we have heard and we have seen, this we proclaim to you concerning the word of life. This is the message we have heard and declare to you. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. And the light shines in the darkness, but it's hard to understand. The light shines in the darkness, but it's hard to comprehend. Word became flesh and dwells among us. We behold the glory of the only begotten Son. He has come full of love, full of grace and truth. Message we proclaim to you. The light shines in your darkness, and we pray you understand. The light shines in your darkness, and we pray you comprehend. Shines in the darkness. Oh, but will you understand? The light shines in the darkness, but will you comprehend?
Heavenly Father, blessed be your holy, holy, holy name. Father, we come before you in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have access through his blood to your throne of grace. And Father, we come and we ask you, Lord, that you would be moving amongst your people tonight, Father. That, Lord, you will remove all fear and all doubt, Lord, and that, Lord, you may, through your Holy Spirit, bring conviction on sin in our lives, Lord, so that when you do come for your people, that we may be without any stain or wrinkle. That, Lord, you may be glorified in us. Help us, Lord, to shine forth, Lord, in these dark days. To speak forth your truth. To be a beacon of light to this world that is lost, Lord. Help us, Father, to be faithful to you each and every day. Father, we pray, Lord, for those brothers and sisters that are struggling tonight. That want to please you. They're fighting with some kind of sin in their lives, Lord, and they just can't seem to beat it. Father, I ask you tonight that your grace through your Lord Jesus Christ may be poured out upon their lives. That you, Father, may be breaking chains, may be breaking strongholds, may be breaking habits, Lord, that do not please you. May be bringing deliverance from sin tonight, Father, from sickness, from disease. Help us, Lord, to focus on your works, to not look at, focus on what the devil is doing that only brings depression, but let us focus on your marvelous work, on your glory, on what you set forth in your scriptures, on your beautiful promises, Lord, that will come to pass. That our hearts may be filled with joy. That our hearts may be filled with gladness, Lord, as we see your words being fulfilled. Thank you, Father, because you are with us. And we abide in you, Jesus. We abide in you tonight. We ask, Lord, for those who are listening to this broadcast, Lord, from a hospital bed. We pray, Father, that you may visit them tonight. That you, Lord, may minister to their hearts. That they may come to know the glory of your Son, Jesus, who gave his life for us. Whom you send, Father, to die on the cross for our sins. Who, on whom your wrath was placed upon him. So that we may be the righteousness of Christ. So that we can be righteous before you. Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray that you may give us utterance, Lord, to speak with boldness, Father, your truth and your gospel. Give us wisdom, Lord, as to what to do in these last days. The Bible says that in the last days, the wise will know and understand. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give us understanding. Open up our hearts to hear from you, Lord, and to obey, Father, your commandments and what you have called us to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you glory and honor and praise. In your holy name do we pray. Amen.
One of the things that the world wants us to think that we are defeated fools. And one of the things that we need to understand is that Christians aren't defeated fools. That we are conquerors. Romans 8:37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let me explain something to you. When I used to go to school, people used to talk about backup. And what they meant by that, they had some individuals that if they got in trouble, they would back them up in a fight. What a lot of Christians don't understand is that our backup is greater than anything that man can do or create. Our backup is God. So when we speak, when we see these devils and principalities and I don't understand why people spend so much time with this nonsense, because people don't need to learn about devils. They need to know how to cast them out and they need to know how to fight. And how to move mountains and how to remove problems from their lives and not be afraid of the ISIS or any other threat to this country or any other country. The fact of the matter is we need to stand. We need to know who our God is and we need to know who's backing us up. And once we understand that, then we could move forward and we could destroy, we could uproot, and we could establish God's kingdom here on earth.
Well, we thank you for listening tonight. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You can also write to us through the contact page, or you can write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com or on our Facebook page. Thank you again for listening tonight. We pray that the Lord blesses you.
Every day, the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nations shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.